This show is going to be the beginner work on nonviolent communication. If you've been listening to the show for a while, last week I interviewed Roger Sorrow, and Roger is a trainer for the Center for Nonviolent Communication. Nonviolent Communication is a book and a movement that was started by Marshall Rosenberg, who actually just passed away last week. Marshall's contribution to the world with this work is really, really great, but I still think it's not as big as it could be, and the reason for that is because of the title of the work. Now, if you listened to last week's show, you heard me talk about how I resisted the book for a while because of the title. I didn't identify myself as a violent communicator, and I'm sure that most people wouldn't. Or wouldn't want to. So it had me at arm's length for a while, that book. And then when I finally read it and listened to the CDs and went to a training, I walked away thinking this work is so important, not to heal wars necessarily, but it can do that. And Marshall talks about so many in his book and in the CDs, he talks about so many different stories of literally violence, like a woman getting out of being raped, using this work and being able to come to peace between two tribes in a country where they were fighting and killing each other. So, I mean, really, he did use this work and it was inspired by his childhood and watching riots and wondering, why do we do this? Why do people treat each other this way? What propels us to do that? And while those are great causes, and I definitely am supportive of the work for that, I want to bring it down to a more simplistic level. And last week's show was sort of in the intermediate nonviolent communication level. So if you are unfamiliar with this work, and I will be renaming it, and I will be adding other elements that I think are really important to make a whole package later. It's part of the work I'm doing now on the next book, on the next movement, is to take all these great pieces and put them together in a way that's easy to understand and easy to apply. When I was in some of the nonviolent communication workshops, I realized something about myself. I brought a whole bunch of clients and friends and family to a training, and I watched them all sort of be confused. And I wasn't sure if it was because of the training or if it was because it was just a foreign concept or if it was too simple. And what I realized about myself during this training is that my brain, when I see, it's like a puzzle. If I see a puzzle and it's out of order, I put it in order or I rearrange it in a way that makes the most sense to me versus some people look at it and read it in order, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, I looked at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and said, well, that doesn't make as much sense. It needs to be 3, 2, 5, 1. And then that makes a lot more sense. So you're getting my version, which is going to be the more simple version. And then later, we're going to get more complicated as my work unfolds. So if you're ready, we're going to start with the 3 steps for effective communication. And I will refer to NVC because I have to. It's the work of Marshall Rosenberg. NVC literally, nonviolent communication, and whatever I choose to name my work in the future that's going to incorporate a lot of this, is really about your own happiness and your own connection to yourself and getting your needs met. So the 3 steps, the first step is going to be identifying your feelings. Now there is a worksheet that you can get from Roger's website, which is chooseconnection.com, or you can do it on fittolove.tv. It's called the Feelings and Needs List, and it's a Word document, and you can download it from fittolove.tv. I would recommend that each and every one of you download this and print it and carry it with you. It is an amazing tool for you to use when you're confused or feeling conflict and you're not quite sure what to do, or you're not even clear as to what you're feeling and why you're feeling it. So the first step, once you print out this list, step number one, is going to be identifying the feeling. Most of us do not have a very large vocabulary for feelings. We know we're sad, we're happy, we're angry, and that's probably all of what most people think of when they think of their feelings. I'm going to read to you the different categories on this list. There are close to 100 different feelings listed on this sheet, and they come in 9 different categories. First, I'll list the categories, and then I'll quickly read off some of the feelings underneath each category. So on the positive emotions, we've got peaceful, playful, glad, and loving. So under peaceful would be content, calm, expansive, serene, spacious, tranquil. Under playful, we'd have alive, exuberant, impish, refreshed, zestful, stimulated. Under glad, we'd have encouraged, excited, grateful, happy, hopeful, joyful, satisfied. Under loving, we'd have affectionate, appreciative, friendly, sensitive, tender, warm, and sweet. Then we have for the negative feelings, we've got mad, confused, sad, tired, and scared. Under mad, we'd have things like agitated, angry, annoyed, frustrated, furious, hostile. Under confused, we'd have apathetic, perplexed, torn, uneasy, withdrawn. Under sad, we'd have despairing, distressed, gloomy, heavy, hopeless, hurt. Under scared, we've got afraid, jittery, nervous, panicky, shocked, terrified, worried. Under tired, we've got fatigued, indifferent, lethargic, listless, overwhelmed, and weary. And I didn't name them all. So just to give you an idea, that's a really good vocabulary of different feelings. And they each have a different energy and they each have a different vibration. So the first step to effective communication is identifying how you feel. If you're in a state of joy or peace or happiness, most likely there's no problem. If you're having conflict with someone or you want something from someone or you need some help with something from someone, knowing how you're feeling can make the conversation and the strategy, which is the third step, easier to identify and enlist people to help you when you can own your feelings. Many times, this step alone, I'm going to assume, and maybe wrongfully assume, that for a lot of people, this is hard. Because a lot of people are trained into the habit of and modeling of that if they feel something negative, it must be someone else's fault. Well, that's not true. And we're going to get more and more into that concept. Those of you that do Law of Attraction understand that. And those of you listening to Thoughtful Thursdays, we've talked about it on different shows. And we've got Lynn Forrest coming on in the future to talk about different faces of victim and rescuer and persecutor. And we're going to cover that understanding and in a little bit more depth. So your feelings are important for communication. They're important for you to figure out how and what you're going to say and what it is that you want. And then most importantly, your feelings give you clarity over the next step. So the next step, number two, is so once you figure out how you're feeling, the next question to ask yourself is, I'm feeling this negative feeling because a need is not being met. So the second step is to identify your need. Now, this is really important. When people hear needs, some people interpret needy or dependent, and that is not at all what is being suggested. We all have needs. Whether you're aware of them or not, you have them. And I'm sure you'd be aware of that you need clothing and you need shelter and you need food and you need water. Those would be really basic needs that you have, but we have other needs. So the needs are listed under 7 different categories, and there's a total of about 70 to 80 different needs. So I'm going to just list the categories for you. And again, most of us do not have a vocabulary for our needs. And let me tell you, and I'm going to give you some examples, personal examples that have happened to me, that once you figure out what is it that I'm feeling and then what need is not being met, you can find the solution and create the strategy to get the need met, which of course is number 3. So needs, these are the categories: meaning, autonomy, authenticity, connection, physical, community, play, and peace. Now let me go back and say under meaning, we've got things like beauty, awareness, acknowledgement, growth, inspiration, learning, purpose. For autonomy, we've got choice, freedom, independence, space. Under authenticity, we have creativity, integrity, self-expression, transparency, trust. Under connection, we've got acceptance, communication, companionship, empathy, intimacy, sexual expression. Under physical, of course, we have air and rest and shelter and sustenance and touch. Under play, we've got excitement, fun, humor, joy, and laughter. Under community, we've got collaboration, cooperation, support. And under peace, we've got ease, flow, harmony, spaciousness, spiritual connection, and transformation. And again, I did not list all of them. So this document in and of itself, the feelings and needs list, is enough to really get clear and have clarity, because a lot of times people are frustrated and they don't know why they're frustrated. And so the first thing is a knee-jerk reaction to turn around and blame the person closest to them that looks like the obvious choice of an action that's happened that they think quote-unquote caused their feeling. So anytime something happens, you have a choice of being the victim to it or realizing that you are interpreting a situation. And multiple different interpretations are going to produce different feelings. So not everyone is going to see the same situation in the same way and feel the same way about it. And too often, if something happens and someone, let's say, gets angry or they feel offended, and I've heard things like, this is a very victim statement. How could they do that to me? If you're someone who has said that often, this is a victim identifier. How could they do this to me? Using nonviolent communication, you could identify both what your feelings and needs are and what the other person's feelings and needs were to show you that probably most likely it had nothing to do with you. And that's the power of this work, is being able to apply it to yourself first, so that way when you do communicate with someone, first it empowers you to be in touch with your feelings, and it empowers you to understand where it's coming from and what need is not being met. Because once you understand what need is not being met, then you can create a strategy to get it met. So I'm going to give you an example. And that's number three. The third step is creating the strategy. But here's the key about the strategy. The strategy to get a need met does not depend on any one person to do anything. Let me repeat that. The strategy is not dependent on one specific person doing a specific thing. So for instance, you may say, well, I don't feel loved in my relationship and I need to be touched and I need my partner to do that for me in order for me to feel loved. So that's a very victim powerless statement to make, and it's not a good position to be in. Now, that is obviously a strategy, is to ask your partner to touch you in order for you to feel and evoke feelings of love and connection. But that demand and that giving away of power, that transfer of all that power to someone else to make you happy or feel connected, is displaced. It isn't true. That's a victim consciousness. And again, we're going to talk about that later with Lynn Forrest. But for now, let me give you an example. So one of the examples I'm going to give is that I was invited to go to a party. And at this party were people that I am very different from. I'm not connected to them in a meaningful way. I have similar things in common, but I'm not of like mind. I just, on very surface level things, I work for myself. They work for other people. I create things and they might create things, but it's under the guise of, you know, somebody else's stuff. They love certain activities that I don't. We have different spiritual beliefs. I would consider myself an extrovert, where I'd consider them introverts. And so we have I eat very differently. And so we have this very disconnecting situation. And so needless to say, I have in the past had a lot of stress around the idea of going to this party. And I used nonviolent communication to work that out, because I wanted to be present and I wanted to satisfy this feeling. And so I started by using the sheet, and I thought, what is it that I'm feeling? And the first thoughts that came to mind is, I'm feeling anxious. Freedom is really important to me, and so I don't feel free. I feel a lack of freedom. I feel confined. I feel caged. I feel limited. I feel fear that I won't have anything to eat. I feel fear that I'm not going to be able to communicate with anyone, and that no one's going to want to communicate with me. I feel anxious that because I'm not going to be able to communicate with anyone and no one's going to want to communicate with me, and I don't know if I can get anything to eat, that I'm going to be able to last the entire time. And also, I didn't get myself there, so I don't have transportation away from there. So again, I'm feeling really, really trapped. And so the Sag part of me is screaming. So that was identifying my feelings. And I'm going to even use this list a little bit more fully. I was so scared. I was anxious. I was nervous. I was worried. I was sad. I was discouraged. I was feeling a little hopeless, definitely. I was a little annoyed, a little irritated, absolutely. I was a little uncomfortable, uneasy, withdrawn, all those things. So then the question becomes, all right, why am I feeling this way? Well, what needs do I have that aren't being met that evoke these feelings? And so when I went through and I thought about it, the first one was the food. I thought, oh my goodness, I'm not gonna have anything to eat. So when I thought of ways to feed myself and go to the grocery store and prepare things for myself, that feeling dissipated. I immediately found relief when I could satisfy my own need, and I found a way to do that. So I thought, okay, that's the first thing. Then the next thing was, well, then I feel trapped. I feel like I can't leave if I want to, and I have nowhere to go. So how do I satisfy that? Well, the strategy was to rent a car and keep the keys and not necessarily bum rides with other people or borrow somebody else's car, but to literally have my own way out. So once I thought of that, and while that was going to cost me a little extra money, it was worth releasing that feeling of being trapped. So once I got the food taken care of, once I got the feeling trapped taken care of, I was feeling a lot better. And then on the third note about feeling lack of connection, I thought, well, I recognize for some people, I'm too intense for you, or I'm intimidating, or I don't know, you don't like me, whatever, that's fine. And that's, I can't control that. But I'm not going to necessarily get connection. I can't force anyone to want to connect with me. So I thought, I'll just go inside and I'll practice meditation. I'll practice the power of now. I'll practice being calm and centered, and I'll make this a game. And once I did that, I was fine. So I've told this story several times because it's a really good outline of when you're having that anxiety about something, rather than push against it or ignore it or drink it away or eat it away or smoke it away or whatever, check out, figure out what it is. And then figuring out, because sometimes it's as simple as, for me, getting some food, renting a car, and learning to enjoy the silence or be with my own thoughts. And that's totally fine. I can do that. I don't have to have, I'm not going to find connection in a place where people don't want to connect with me. I don't have to force anyone to do that. And connection, unfortunately, does require somebody else. So I focused on the connection with myself. And that's the most important part. I'm going to give you one more example, but first, I need to take a break and thank our sponsors. All right, let's review the three steps. The first step is to identify your feelings. And most likely there's more than one. And if you keep looking at them and talking about them and figuring out which one's the most, then you can have some more information to get more specific about the need. So what am I feeling? And then what need is not being met? And referring to this sheet so that you have, again, there's about 100 different feelings on this list and about 80 different needs. So really identifying that need. And then the third step is to develop a strategy or strategies, because if it requires someone else or an interaction, then you may need multiple strategies. So developing a strategy to get your needs met, and here's the most important part, that do not require any specific person to do or be different. So feelings, needs, strategy. So here's one more example from my life about how I use nonviolent communication to figure out, because I know it's never really about the other person. I had a bunch of friends who would get together so often and talk about life, talk about business and life and relationships. And I had invited somebody to an event where there was going to be sharing in a more strategic way, sort of like idea sharing and generating. And that person declined. And they declined because they were uncomfortable or didn't think it was a good use of their time. And I was offended by it because to me, I interpreted it as a good opportunity to just work something out loud. And why not? Because unless you have something else to do, why not create some space for you to figure out answers to a problem that you're having? So I had come home after this dinner and was sitting on the couch and talking to my husband, and it was really bugging me. And I at first I was like mad, and then I was feeling offended, and I couldn't quite put my finger on it. So I finally pulled out the list and I thought, what is this about? So I'm aggravated, I'm agitated, I'm annoyed, I'm confused, I'm perplexed, I'm a little sad, and I'm a little discouraged. And I thought, okay, well, why am I feeling all these things? And I realized, because my need, when I looked through the list of needs, my need was to contribute. And this person did not think I had anything to contribute. Obviously, because they didn't come to this event. And I mean, because they said that the event didn't seem worth their time. And I was leading the event. And so I translated that into that you don't think I have enough value to contribute to whatever you're doing. And that's why I was sad, and that's why I was agitated and a little bit angry. And I realized, though, that my need was to contribute. I have been in business for 15 years. I have done so many things wrong. I've done some things right. I've learned so much. I keep learning. It's always a learning. It's always learning. And there are some people that are just starting out, and I wanted to share some of the experiences and point of view, and I'm an idea person. You put me in a room and give me an idea, and I can brainstorm like the best of them. I am very creative, and so I wanted to help. But here's the thing. That strategy, the need is, I wanted to contribute, but I was trying to create a strategy of giving to one specific person. But the reality of it is, that's going to set me up to fail. So if I have a need to contribute, then why not go find somebody else who thinks I have value or wants what I have to offer? So I realized in that moment that I'm going to create a charity. And this was about 6 months ago that this happened, and I had this conversation, and I realized that's what I really want to do. There are people out there, I know who they are, who really want help, because otherwise they have to pay for it when it comes to some of this brainstorming. And so I realized I would do a lot of good by setting up a nonprofit organization, charity, in order to help small business owners get started and to not make some of the same mistakes I did and to have a mentor. I've had mentors. I've had great mentors. And while they're all not specifically 100% the person who's walked in the kind of shoes that I'm creating, everyone had value and they've all contributed to my career. And so I wanted to be able to give that back to somebody else. And in fact, that was my agreement with one of my last business partners, was that I promised to pay it forward. So I have a yearning to contribute. And that relationship, that situation shined a light on that. And that was amazing, because then I could release them from having to fulfill that need for me. It's not their responsibility to get that need met. And to honor the fact that it's like selling something. One of my mentors would say, you don't want to sell a lawnmower to somebody without a lawn. They don't need it. They don't want it. It has no use. So that was a big relief off my chest and off my shoulders from discovering why I was feeling the way I was feeling. And then not only that, I then got more excited about the idea of creating a nonprofit organization in the future to give back. And that's really exciting. So out of this contrast, and this is definitely law of attraction, out of this contrast came a bigger and better idea that is going to satisfy me way more than contributing to one person. And to one person who could afford to pay somebody to coach them. This way, I get to give to people who are just starting out, who were like me when I first started and didn't have any resources and was looking around desperately to figure out what to do and how to do it. So using nonviolent communication can really free you from misinterpreting other people's behaviors. And then when it comes to getting your needs met, if you do in fact need to ask others to be involved, you can own the language by saying, I'm feeling exhausted. And my need is for space. So I would like to request if A, B, and C person, if I could cancel our sessions, or if you could maybe not call me for a couple days, or husband and kids, if I could have a couple hours of just quietness, that would be really great because I'm really exhausted and I really need space. Okay, so at least it's not you saying, blaming them or shaming or guilting them for doing something wrong. They're not doing anything wrong. You have a need they don't know about. When we understand and own our emotions and then understand and own our needs, then nobody is a victim. And we can stop and not go into shame and blame of other people. I think that's the most detrimental communication that we have, whether a parent is doing it or a friend is doing it or spouses are doing it. When you make others responsible for getting your needs met, you're going to give the power away and you're never going to feel satisfied because they can't read your mind and it's not their responsibility. It's yours. And how much more effective communication would we have and how more often would we get our needs met if we knew what our needs were? How many people do you know are reacting to everything around them and they're not even sure of what their needs are? I mean, that's most of us. I would say that. I didn't know what my need was in that moment when I was feeling rejected about the person not coming to my event. But once I figured it out, I didn't hold them responsible for that. They have their own thing, and it wasn't personal. Yes, it was personal because it was me, but I didn't have to take it personally. I then get choice. So I'd love to hear your feedback or comments on this. This is the meat and bones to me of the nonviolent communication method and at the very foundation. And for me, it's the foundation of just happiness, of understanding and being conscious and aware of what it is you need and getting it met and being able to identify negative feelings and positive feelings. But obviously, if you're feeling something positive, you probably don't need anything because you're being satisfied. Those needs are being met. It is my belief and experience that if you're feeling a negative emotion, it is because a need is not being met. It's no one else's responsibility to get that need met for you, but it's your responsibility to figure it out, and then you can ask others to help you if need be. So I hope that today was enlightening in some way. I really, really, really hope that you come to the site and download the feelings and needs list, print several copies, have one on the refrigerator, put one in your purse, put one in the car, have it around so that next time you get upset about something, you can take a look at this list and see how fast you might be able to identify these things so you can solve the negative emotion and then feel empowered to get it met and then have the relief of that whole situation. And at the end of the day, most of the time, that situation is going to get satisfied probably in a bigger and better way than you ever would have been able to figure out if you hadn't done this work.